In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's gospel, we have two parables Jesus told the Pharisees and the scribes when they complained about Jesus welcoming and eating with sinners. The first parable features a shepherd who leaves his flock of sheep to their own devices while he goes in search of one little sheep who wandered off. When he finds the sheep, he hoists it up on his shoulders and carries it home and gathers his friends and neighbors together to rejoice with him. The second parable is similar, except now it's a woman who's lost something, a silver coin, which she searches diligently for, lighting a lamp and sweeping the house until she finds it. She too calls together her friends and neighbors that they might rejoice with her. Both parables end by asserting there are parties going on in heaven just like these every time a sinner repents. But it seems to me that this conclusion is not logical. A sheep cannot repent. And a coin certainly can't change its mind, even if it is a piece of change. Ha 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 ha. I know, it's bad. In fact, there is no repentance happening in these parables. The parables are primarily about the ones who search. We are meant to think about their care and diligence in seeking what is lost. Jesus is reminding the Pharisees and the scribes that the God they worship is like a good shepherd or a wise housewife, who never ceases searching for what belongs to them. So clearly, repentance is not a prerequisite to being found by God. Jesus is not asking the tax collectors and sinners who are coming to listen to him to repent before he welcomes them to dinner. This parable makes me wonder, what does it really mean to be lost? When I was a little girl, about 4 years old, my daddy took me to our little hometown street fair, which took up exactly one downtown block. But in that one block, they squeezed in a Ferris wheel, a tilt-a-whirl, candy apple, popcorn, and cotton candy stands, and lots of games designed to challenge your skills as a sharpshooter, ring tosser, or dice roller. I remember standing next to my dad as he played the horses, small wooden horses on wheels that the barker rolled forward with a great flourish, each horse moving according to the roll of the dice. There were some very tall people all around me, and I don't know exactly how I got separated from my dad, but the next thing I knew, I turned around and I couldn't see him. I had lost him. I immediately began to cry, and within seconds, he was there, swooping down to scoop me up in his arms. What does it mean to be lost? It means to not be seen. We humans long to be seen, to be known. We want people to get us, who we really are, what makes us tick, what we love, what we hate. We long to be seen, but we also fear to be seen. I once worked as a facilitator in primal therapy workshops, using guided imagery and deep breathing. People would relive their birth, I remember one man in particular who would not open his eyes immediately after being born. No matter how much I encouraged him, he would not do it. I finally asked him why, and he said, "Because you'll see what a monster I am." Well, whether he picked up the notion he was a monster in utero or later in life is beside the point. He felt himself to be a monster and therefore did not want to be seen. I think we all have a little bit of that in ourselves. We long to be seen, and yet we fear to be seen. We long to be found, and we fear to be found, because being found is also about being found out. But how does repentance figure into this? Why does the text leap from the diligence of the searcher, who is God, to the repentance of those who are found? I believe it's because the very act of knowing yourself to be seen by God is what leads to repentance. Take, for example, the character Jean Valjean in Victor Hugo's masterpiece, Les Misérables. After being released from a brutal 20-year prison term for stealing a loaf of bread at the age of 19, the embittered Jean Valjean is offered hospitality at the home of Monsignor Welcome. Valjean returns this kindness by stealing the bishop's silver plate and running away. The gendarmes catch him, bring him back to face the bishop, who stuns Valjean, not with rebuke or condemnation, but with kindness. Listen to the scene as Hugo wrote it. "Ah, there you are," the bishop said, looking at Jean Valjean. "I am glad to see you. Why, I gave you the candlesticks too, which are also silver and will fetch you 200 francs. Why did you not take them away with the rest of the plate?" The gendarmes leave, and Jean Valjean looks as though he's going to faint. The bishop's parting words to Valjean are, "Jean Valjean, my brother, you no longer belong to evil but to good. I have bought your soul of you. I withdraw it from black thoughts and the spirit of perdition and give it to God." So Jean Valjean is seen, known for the thief he has become, seen by God's representative on earth, but he has yet to repent. He leaves in a daze and wanders around until he finds himself under a bush next to a path going through a great empty plain. A young boy comes down the path playing a game with himself. He's tossing coins in the air when one of the coins gets away from him and rolls up to Jean Valjean, who places his foot on it. But not before the boy sees what he does. And there follows a scene of the boy asking for the coin to be returned and Valjean refusing. Eventually, the boy walks away, sobbing his heart out. Sometime later, after the boy leaves, Valjean lifts his foot off the coin. Seeing the small coin he's stolen from a young boy seems to awaken him to his own depravity, his own monstrosity. And it pierces his heart for the first time, and then he begins to repent. He begins to search for the little boy, but he can't find him. And at the end of the chapter, it is Valjean who is sobbing, his heart finally turning from stone to flesh as he kneels in prayer before Monsignor Welcome's door. When God finds us, It is often the best and the worst moment of our lives, because the light God shines into our hearts reveals all our failings and shortcomings, all those aspects of our character that we tap dance away from, hoping to keep anyone from noticing, especially maybe ourselves. But when God sees and welcomes us exactly the way we are, it frees us to change our minds. And when we change our minds, our hearts and then our lives will change as well. That's why the angels rejoice when the lost are found, because they know it's just the beginning of a story that will become one of God's masterpieces. Amen.